COVID-19 has changed the world we live in, but one of the few positives to have come out of the pandemic is the way we've adapted to this new reality. How we work and interact with one another has changed, and industries have had to adapt too. In the third episode of this series of podcasts, we'll be looking at how COVID-19 has changed the commercial property industry. Joining me today to provide an insight is Natasha Collins, MD at NC Real Estate and UCM module tutor teaching commercial property management and asset management. Hi, Natasha. Thanks very much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Hi, Hannah. It's my absolute pleasure. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good to hear it. How's the weather? You are not in the UK, are you?
No. I am in Charleston, South Carolina, and the weather is glorious. Today we are at 23 degrees and it's getting hotter. It's lovely.
So jealous. I was speaking to you a little while ago, just saying we had snow yesterday, so slightly different here. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us. Let me get straight in and ask the first question. How has the commercial real estate industry changed in the post-COVID world?
Oh, it's a very loaded question. It really depends upon the size of the commercial property. Now, I'm going to say everybody has had problems during COVID-19. Mm. Of course, people have not been able to go into their commercial buildings. They've hardly been able to leave home. There's been major restrictions in place which stop commercial tenants from trading for the most part. So from that point of view, if we look at it as an overall thing, what the headlines are reporting, it's been a bit doom and gloom. They estimate that about £1.5 billion worth of rent hasn't been paid every quarter. Wow. But of course, on the flip side of that, landlords can't evict tenants. So we have experienced on the whole this stop from the commercial property market where tenants aren't paying rent because they're not trading, landlords can't get them out. And so with bigger players, we're seeing landlords now struggling because they can't afford to pay their finance on the property. And so we're seeing a lot of those kind of properties come to auction or landlords trying to get rid of them quickly. I think that is still going to be an ongoing problem because commercial tenants can't have their unit forfeited because that's still a ban that's in place up until the 1st of July at least, and whether the government extend that or not, we don't know. I mean, all the government is saying at the moment is be kind to your commercial tenants, make sure that you work with them. So we're seeing that as a overall headline in the commercial property world, but I wouldn't say that it is all doom and gloom. I work with predominantly smaller investors, and so we invest in smaller commercial and mixed-use property, and for the most part smaller tenants have been paying rent throughout COVID. They understand that if they don't pay rent, then they will get to a point where they do have to pay all of that backdated rent, so they might as well keep going so they don't have this huge amount of arrears and eventually they don't end up having their premises forfeited and not being able to trade at all. So there is certainly two different sides of it, but I would say we're coming to the end of it. We are in a more positive place.
So it basically sounds a bit of a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag. I mean, it's not been, I'm not saying that the situation has been fantastic, but I'm saying that it's been a huge struggle. We're coming to the end of it. And we're now having to look at innovative ways to get out of this situation that we've been in.
Cool, thanks. And then so how well equipped do you feel the industry was at adapting? You say like we're coming out of it. How well do you think we were adapting during the pandemic?
I'm shocked that people were so surprised about it. Because if we look back at commercial property trends, and I've been doing this for the last 11 years, and already I know that there are 5-year cycles really within the commercial property world where you start seeing trends change. We've seen the rise of technology mean that the way that we do business, the way that we trade goods has completely changed. And that was inevitably going to cause a shift. But what we're also seeing is certain tenants who have been stuck in the past. You know, all of these massive retailers who have just traded like they did in the 1990s to 2000s, thinking that they could still trade in the same way. We've had businesses doing the same thing and not catching up with technology. All of a sudden, a pandemic hits and people or businesses go, we need to get, you know, on the technology side of things. So whilst it shouldn't have been a shock, it was a massive shock.
Yeah, fair enough. I can, yeah, understand that. So some of the people listening to this podcast might be newly entering into the profession. What kind of working life can they kind of expect at the moment from your point of view?
Well, my working life has changed a lot over the years. It's far more flexible now than it was when I first got into the profession. I think there's a lot of pressure because when you're a property professional and things are going wrong in the market, your clients turn to you and they expect you to have all of the answers. And of course, you don't always have all of the answers. Could we have predicted how long the pandemic was going to go on for? No. Could we have predicted that it was going to happen? Well, there were signs, but, you know, we've not been through this before. So would I know how this was going to play out for my clients? Of course, I didn't know how this was going to play out for my clients. So I think if you're coming into the industry at the moment, you have to come in with a creative mind. Things do not look the same that they did a year ago, and that's okay. So you have to be thinking about how can you do this innovatively. You might be coming in and expecting to learn all of this stuff from your mentors and the people above you, and that's great. But you also need to take past trends and think, okay, well, this happened before, but how can we change this to be reflective of what the situation is right now, because we're all kind of walking into this new situation almost with our eyes wide shut. We don't know what it's going to look like. So we are creating a new property industry. We are creating a new commercial sector. And that's exciting.
That's really cool. And that kind of leans on to the next question about like the long term. I know you obviously you can't predict the future, but what do you think maybe COVID-19 is going to have changed about the built environment in the long term? I guess, what can you see changing? Like, what do you think the future is going to look like? Bit of an open-ended question, but yeah, just wonder if you've got any thoughts.
Yeah, so I think that, well, we were already seeing the likes of Debenhams stores, the big John Lewis's, you know, those big retailers closing down. That was never going to be sustainable, pandemic or not. They were coming to an end of kind of their life cycle of how they traded in business. And what's coming, I think, is smaller units that are more accessible to any sort of consumer. So you get the choice. If you want to go in, you go in. If you want to order online, curbside pickup, if you want to just order online and get things delivered to you, I think that is changing. We're going to see more logistics in city centers, for example. So you'll have smaller distribution centers, which are like hubs. And I think we're going to really have to start focusing on that as these big retailers come out of these big properties. There seems to be a massive push from the government for change that into residential. Let's have people living above shops. Well, that really, I don't know how that's going to work. But how about we take a step back and we start looking at that as distribution centres? You know, could all of the local tenants rent out a part of it for their storage? Could there be a single distributor who then brings it out locally? You know, so rather than us on 24 to 48 hour turnarounds for delivery, could we be on a couple of hour turnaround for delivery? It's normal for some things. I mean, certainly when I was working in central London, I could phone up a dress shop and have a dress at my desk for any event that I was going to in the evening within a couple of hours. And certainly Amazon Prime are rolling that out as well. But that should probably become the norm if we start looking at how the supply chain works. And then we should also be looking at this live, work, play. How do people actually want to function coming out of the pandemic? I know for certain that I will never be without outside space again. Luckily, I've always had outside space during the pandemic and I've looked to expand that. But what do we need to change about the buildings that we live in order to provide that? What do we need to change about the buildings that we we work in. You know, do we want to go back to the same offices? Well, I hate going into a sterile office with just air conditioning. You can't open the windows. It's tough to go outside. You know, so how is that going to change? What is it going to look like? And rather than, you know, trying to search around us for the answers, why don't we just start being innovative and look at the ways in which we can provide that solution? And I think that's where we're going to start seeing the commercial property market change.
Mm. I mean, yeah, that sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to the solutions that people come up with and seeing how, I guess, in the next few years, yeah, work and home life change a bit. It's cool. I know, talking to you, that the pandemic has personally affected the way you work. Can you just explain to the listeners how it has affected you and, yeah, how you're working at the moment, what it looks like?
So actually, I changed the way that I worked in 2018. Mm. So when we got the opportunity to move to New York, UCN very kindly let me go completely remote. And I was considering moving my firm of surveyors online anyway. Because I wanted to reach more people. My audience weren't, my clients are not necessarily in central London. Some of them are, but I wanted to reach a wider client base of people who wanted to step up and invest at that next level. They didn't just want to have small residential properties. They wanted to have mixed use portfolios. So I bought that online and started really capitalizing on online marketing. Mm. And that really changed the way that I work. So that everything was online. Everything that I did was from wherever I needed to be at the time I needed to be in it. And so that shift happened pretty early on before the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, more and more people adjusted to being online. And I think it was more of a culture shock for other people than it was for me. So I found myself really being the person who was available to those that were worried about coming online or whether they would get the same service. And thinking about ways in which I could be more supportive. So for my clients in the UK, because I'm in America, I'm in a very lucky position where I'm 5 hours behind. So I could start offering evening calls when kids have gone to bed, for example. And so my work day actually works really nicely now because I work with my clients in the evening UK time, which is my afternoon. And in the morning, I tend to do all my admin things and make sure that I have meetings with my team. And when I'm at UCM, I'm meeting with my colleagues. And so it's a really flexible, relaxed way of life that has just happened based upon my lifestyle. I really felt like my work-life balance was needed to be important. And so I started looking at, well, what do I need to do to have that work-life balance? How do I move it towards that work-life balance? Mm. And then stop being apologetic for it. Mm. I don't say sorry if I need to be going out and doing something. You know, if you need to go to the doctors or what have you now. And I used to, but I hated that way of working. So I was like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. And the pandemic has really helped that. And I hope that it helps a lot of other people feel the same.
I love that. Yeah, I find myself saying sorry all the time. And that's such good advice to just stop saying it. And yeah, thank you. So last question, what would you say to someone that is currently considering a career in real estate? What's your advice to them?
My advice to someone coming into the industry is that you're going to get into the industry and it's going to be a culture shock. Mm. Just because of the industry attitudes, it's very much work hard, kind of get your head down, learn what you need to do. And the first couple of the years in the industry are about learning the ropes. Once you get a job, you learn the ropes of what you're doing. You make sure that you understand the role of the company. And I think start thinking about what you really want to do going forward. There'll be certain aspects of real estate that really interest you and certain aspects that do not interest you at all. I'm not a valuation surveyor. I'm not that. You know, you talk to my colleagues at UCM and, you know, the likes of David and David who love doing their valuations. I really don't like doing that. And I stayed very much away from that as a young surveyor as well. There were certain jobs that just really weren't for me. I didn't ever want to be an agent. I didn't enjoy that side of things. But I got a lot of hands-on experience because I was willing to learn. And I think if you're willing to put your head down for the first couple of years and learn, take things on board, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because we all make mistakes. You know, you don't go into an industry being perfect. And certainly you will make mistakes throughout your career. That's fine. Learn from them. Just keep moving forward. And then start thinking about what do you actually enjoy doing? And you can enjoy doing anything in real estate. I know people who've made careers out of so many different things, but you get to make that choice. Don't just follow what the company tells you you should be doing. If you don't enjoy something, move. You know, like, your career should be what you want to make it. You don't have to fall into something and think, oh, I can't do anything else. So many of my good friends who are surveyors reinvent themselves every couple of years into something else that they enjoy. It's absolutely fine. You know, we all have specialities and we all enjoy doing certain things. So I think it's a career where you can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to have to be brave to do whatever you want to do. And if there is something in the built environment that interests you, move towards that. And then don't be afraid if you start getting bored of that or that's not for you anymore, move towards something else. That is the beauty of this industry.
Yeah, that's so good. That's really refreshing perspective to have, so thank you. Thanks really so much for your time today. I'm sorry it's been a bit short, but we will get you back and do a longer chat soon. If you're listening to this podcast and interested in learning about real estate, then do take a look at our website. It's ucem.ac.uk. Take a look at our programs on the website, and you might be being taught by Natasha in the near future. Thank you. Thank you, Natasha. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We will say bye. So, yeah, thanks. Thank you. Cheers.